My friends, in today's video, we will continue diving into Mary and finding the greatest treasure that we can find in that ocean, which is her Immaculate Heart. St. John Hughes will be guiding us in this dive, and so I ask you to stay with me to find out what's next. As always, I would like to begin with a prayer. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Allow me to praise you, O most holy Virgin Mary. Give me strength against your enemies. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, if you're wondering where I get that prayer, no, I did not make it up on my own. No, the Holy Spirit didn't invite me. That's actually an ancient prayer from the 1200s by Blessed John Duns Scotus, I believe is his name. So he was a Franciscan, and at the time, the church did not exactly know or agree on the teaching of the Immaculate Conception. Some believed in it and understood it, while others did not. In fact, some of the famous saints that did not believe in that at the time was St. Thomas Aquinas. So Blessed Scotus, he was a Franciscan, and in the Franciscans, this was this tradition where they believed in this teaching that the Blessed Virgin Mary was born without original sin, that Jesus had died for her, and that she had been saved to such a degree that she had been saved even before she was born. And so one day when he was going to defend this, he stopped by a statue of the Blessed Mother and he prayed this prayer. And the story goes that she miraculously kind of bowed her head in a sense to say, yes, you will go and defend this truth about who I am. And he did. He went on to defend that truth, and now the church teaches this beautiful teaching. So today we are continuing with this book by St. John Hughes. And remember, the importance of this is he is the master of this particular area of the Blessed Mother, which we would call the Immaculate Heart. You know, we see this sometimes in our churches. We have this in our tradition. So it's important for us to know and learn from someone who wrote the book, so to speak, the person that wrote the manual. So again, he was living in the 1600s, and at that time it had been kind of taught throughout, you know, different church fathers, you know, some of the early teachers in the church, but it hadn't really been consolidated in this one way. So he wrote this amazing book called The Admirable Heart of Mary, and as I was speaking, we were diving into the Blessed Mother to find this particular jewel, her heart, and to really understand what this is. So imagine using this analogy of diving into the ocean. You would want this scuba instructor to tell you what you're going to see and what you're going to find, so that when he starts pointing things out, you know what he's talking about. So we're now in the second chapter of the book. The first chapter was giving us an introduction. The second chapter is a little bit more technical, so I want to kind of go through it briefly, and then this will lay a foundation for what we're going to learn as we continue. So in this second chapter, he's really only going to talk about what he means by heart. It's going to be a little bit dry, so I'll try to maybe put some graphics in the video to make it a little bit more interesting, put some video clips and some pictures to help you understand what he's talking about and to help it kind of come alive for you. So when it comes to heart, there are at first 8 things that he means, and then he's going to teach us about the 3 hearts of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I'm going to explain what that means, the 3 hearts in Jesus, and then the 3 hearts in God. And then at the end, he's going to teach us kind of what each heart in the Blessed Mother, exactly what's happening there. Now, of course, he uses the number 3 because as Christians, we believe in the Trinity. So he tries to kind of understand things in parts to help us make sense of kind of one thing being broken down into 3 different parts. So let me go through the 8 things that he means when he says heart. First, he's talking about the material heart, our physical heart. And sometimes we'll use the word physical, material, corporeal, or flesh. He means the place where we feel emotions, the place where we have feelings, and the place that's the seat of life that pumps blood through our body. Next, he talks about heart meaning the mind. And in Catholic theology, the mind is broken into 3 different areas. The memory, the area where we remember the past. The intellect, where we go higher than the animals and where we use to meditate and think about God. and the free will, where we make our choices and where good or evil comes from. So he points out different verses that I'm not going to name. You can read the book. He points out different verses that show how the scriptures talk about the heart meaning each of these different things. And lastly, he talks about the heart in this sort of spiritual sense, where he means the interior life of man. You know, as animals, the animals don't have an interior life. They just kind of have instinct and they remember a few things, but they don't have an interior life in the same way that a human does. Although maybe some people would argue with me, but I would argue that they do not have an interior life, and we humans are unique in that. And then the other spiritual way that he talks about the heart is in talking about it as the point of the spirit, the high point, the area of the spirit where we encounter God most clearly, where we encounter God simply and directly. So these are the first six. And then he also speaks about that sometimes the scriptures will use the word heart to speak about the Holy Spirit, or the word heart to speak about Jesus Christ. So again, the eight ways is the heart is the flesh, the heart is the three parts of the mind, free will, memory, and intellect, the heart is the two parts of the spirit, the interior life and the point of the spirit, and then the heart as either the Holy Spirit or Jesus, that the word heart is used in these different ways in the scriptures. Next, he begins speaking about these different persons, the Virgin Mary, Jesus, and God, and how each of them, in a sense, have these three hearts. The spiritual, for the Blessed Mother, kind of this higher area. The corporeal, the flesh part of her heart, where she has her feelings and her emotions. And he speaks about the divine heart, where the focus of her love is on God. Now, even though he says that she has three hearts, he recognizes that she really has one heart that maybe you can say has like three different areas or three different aspects. Similar with Jesus, he speaks about Jesus having this corporeal heart, his flesh heart, where he had his emotions and his feelings, the spiritual part, the higher part of him that prayed, and then the divine heart, where the focus of his love was on God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And again, these being one heart, but kind of three different aspects of it. And finally, and this is maybe the part that I found the most interesting. Sorry if this is a little bit dry, but you know, we want to get this kind of structure to understand what he's going to be talking about later on in the book. So this was the most interesting part. He talked about the three hearts in God. And first he said that the first heart in God was in fact the Son of God. That at the very heart of God the Father, the thing or the person that God the Father lays his entire heart on is his Son. And the next heart that we find in God is the Holy Spirit, which we know to be the love between the two of them. So you imagine God the Father and what's at the center of his heart being his Son, and then the love that's between those two being a real person, the Holy Spirit. And in this sense, the Holy Spirit can be referred to as like a heart. But then there's this intense love between the three of them, which he just calls divine love. This love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that in between these three persons in God, that's holding them and uniting them. Lastly, he talks about the heart of the Virgin Mary and kind of fleshing out, so to speak, what's in each part. Again, in her flesh or her corporeal heart was all her emotions and her love that were being directed towards Jesus. And then in her spiritual part of her heart, where she was meditating on and adoring God and meditating on the life of Jesus and contemplating everything that was there. And lastly, Jesus himself as being the focus of her heart. My friends, this was just something of the beginning and laying out a structure for what we're going to learn. Sorry if it was a little bit dry, but you know, in Catholic theology, theology being the study of God, sometimes we have to have this foundation and this structure so that when things are spoken about later, it can make sense to us and we can understand. I hope this video helped you, and I hope this video helped you deepen your own understanding of your own heart and what we're going to be learning soon, the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary.